I'm going to ask you all to go to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, the 15th chapter. Y'all got to bear with me. My voice may go in and out, but y'all pray for me. Luke, the 15th chapter, starting at verse 1, and we're going to commence down to verse 7. Amen, amen. And this is the parable of the lost sheep. Now the verse 1 says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all, and I'm reading the NIV version, were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered. They said, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it over his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. As we look at the text, we see that Jesus he's teaching and he's talking in parables. You know, the earthly stories with heavenly meanings. He's trying to get a couple of points across. So he's gathered amongst sinners, the least of those, you know, the lower class, the tax collectors and other notorious sinners is where he's sitting. He's being ridiculed by the Pharisees, you know, the religious leaders. He's being mocked at this time. And they're coming at him left and right with different questions to trick him, to try to trick him. But he's Jesus, of course. Yes, yes, they're trying to find anything to pin against him to crucify him. And he knows it. But he bows. He knows his position. He knows why he's here and he knows what is to come. He stands before these individuals and he stands with boldness. Yes, he cares more about the message at hand than what the Jewish elite has to offer. This is Jesus. Jesus, go on. In the book of Luke, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 7. And he begins to tell the story about the lost sheep. Out of all of the parables he could tell, why would he drop this one right here on the scene? Why would he tell this particular story? He have a shepherd that's dealing with 100 sheep. He proposed a question to the crowd because he hears the Pharisees state. And they say, this man welcomes sinners, and he eat with them. He goes on to tell the parable. But I guess they haven't read the book of Psalms where David pens that he'll prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. These were the enemies, and the table is about to be set. Yes, yes. So he will prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Identified in the text, the shepherd is identified in this text. There's a shepherd, there's the 99, and there's the lost sheep. Jesus is familiar with sheep herding. He knows that the individuals can identify with this occupation. For it was more than likely that shepherds were standing amongst this crowd. Shepherds was considered the lowly at the bottom of the social ladder. They shared the same lower status as the tax collector. Shepherds became a lowly work for the toiling class. They oftentimes lived in isolation in a faraway land. It was considered a hard job and a task one who has to have this job has to have patience. They have to show grace. They must be compassionate. And good God Almighty, they need mercy. So Jesus goes on in this parable. And he says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and he loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in order to get the one, to go after the one? Now, I don't know about you all's personal lives or you all that are sitting inside of this church on today, but I can personally identify with this story. See, sometimes we get a little too high and mighty when we no longer can remember that we once were the one. Yeah. So I can identify with this story. Psalms 103 says that we know that the Lord is our God and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So I know that I identify as one of God's sheep. But one theologian says, if you cannot identify yourself in this parable, you may need to go back to check your card of salvation. We've all been the lost sheep before.
Yeah.
We've all been the wandering sheep before. Jesus knew that every individual in the crowd was the one. I don't know if you can identify today that you, my brothers and sisters, have been and are the one.
Yeah.
And Jesus will do whatever it takes to go after the one to get him back to the fold. Yes, as a believer, you must understand that without a Savior, you are not a believer. A believer. We need Jesus as that shepherd to come get us the one. We oftentimes look down on those who are maneuvering in different directions. As we are in different directions as we are as believers, we can no longer sit with them sometimes and stand with them and be around them or talk to them. But I don't know about you all, but if you look in the text, it says that Jesus ate with them. Now that's ministry. Some people will never step inside the four walls of this church. Some people will never come through the doors of this church. And if we don't get outside and go after the sheep like Jesus did, because he is our example, sometimes they will never see Jesus. Yeah, that's ministry. And so we can't, as believers and leaders, we can't pick and choose what side of Christ we want to be like. We can't just stand in the pulpit but then don't want to do outreach ministry. We can't just stand on the door but don't want to feed the homeless. We can't just come in here and do the ministry on the inside but don't want to visit those who are in grief, those who are the lowly, those who are the less of those. That is the ministry that Jesus took on. And he is our example. And so when a shepherd loses one, he has to trust that everything that he's poured into the 99 will rise up to cause them to be obedient until he returns back with the one.
Amen.
Now this parable is told in two different locations in the Bible. One of these parables was spoken on the mountaintop when Jesus was talking to the disciples. And the other one is in the wilderness when he's standing here in front of these Pharisees. In Luke 15, the lost sheep parable is given in response to the disapproving comments of the religious leaders. But then if we mosey on over there to Matthew 18, the lost sheep parable is given in response to a question asked by Jesus' disciples about who is the greatest. He uses it to address appropriate attitudes and disciplines among believers over in Matthew. With this being said, the 99 represent two different groups because the parables are addressing two different concerns. In Matthew, the 99 represent the faithful earthly saints. Not that they are perfect, but they are those who are in Christ. But we are dealing here with Luke, the 15th chapter. And so the 99 here represent those who adhere solely to the law, as the Pharisees, that Jesus was speaking to would have claimed to do. Jesus called them the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent, over in Luke 15 and 7. This was an illustration of their self-righteousness, their ego boasting, and their selfish heart posture. And so we've dealt with the sheep who we realize have fallen short of the glory of God. They have went astray from time to time according to the scriptures. And then we've dealt with the 99 who we have identified as, in one text, they are the disciples asking a question, and they're the earthly individuals who follow Jesus. But in Luke 15, they are the people that God is trying to talk to, which are the Pharisees who have self-righteousness going on. But lastly, the greatest in this parable, and I'm not going to be before y'all long, but the greatest in this parable is the shepherd. Psalms 23 and 1 tells us that the Lord is our shepherd. Yeah, yeah, yeah. John 10 and 11 tells us that he's not only our shepherd, but he is the good shepherd. Hebrews 13 and 20 says that he is the great, great shepherd. And 1 Peter 5 and 4 says that he is the chief shepherd. Yeah, yeah. So as the shepherd, he magnifies divine grace to the lost and the wandering sheep. The Bible tells us that he seeks and he saves. He teaches us that the kingdom of God is accessible to all, to the Jews and to the Gentiles. This is what the Bible teaches us. He desires our recovery and salvation. He teaches us that the kingdom of God is accessible to each and every one of us. He shows us that he cares for each and every one of us. He don't care if you are a backslider. He cares for you. The Bible says that he is married to the backslider. And does this give you permission to go and do what you want to do? Absolutely not. But understand that if you are struggling with something, that he will leave the 99 to come back and get you. And understand he'll do whatever it takes to come back and get you. Sometimes it don't feel good when he's coming back to get you. Sometimes you gotta lose some people for him to come back and get you. Sometimes you gotta lose your job for him to come back and get you. Sometimes you might not know where you're going, but he will come back and get you. Sometimes you just can't figure it out, but he's going to come back and get you. The Bible says don't put all your trust in man, but put it in the good shepherd. Yeah, he teaches us that his kingdom is important to him. It's important to him. And he shows us that he cares for us. He shows us that the sheep are worthy of divine rescue simply because we are loved by him. Sometimes it's not a whole bunch of things that he requires. He just wants you to know that he loves you. He's going to come and get you simply because he loves you. And one thing about the Lord that I know is that he does not go back on his word. So he can't tell you one thing and then say, never mind, I ain't going to do that. I ain't never seen where he would say, I got the 99, so I could just lose one. Yeah, yeah, he'll come back to get you. And he cares for us. Jesus shows us in both texts that he came for the saved and the unsaved alike. The Bible tells us, Luke 19, that the Son of Man comes to seek and to save. Jesus had to us, he told us this parable. He had to tell us this parable as he was about to be a representative for the sheep community. I don't know if you're part of the sheep community or the sheep gang, but I wouldn't want nobody else to initiate me in other than Jesus Christ. And so, yes, my brothers and sisters, he was about to stand for you and for I. Yeah, he was about to die for you and for me, because he was the gang leader of the sheep community, being wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. Isaiah says the chastisement was upon him, and by his stripes we were already healed. And I'm not just talking about a physical healing, but he died for my soul. There's a soul healing that Jesus died for. There's a soul healing that he was bruised for, that he took those stripes for, because he is the good shepherd. He's the one who was slain for us. Yes, yes. He went to hell, got the keys, conquered hell, death, and the grave so that we may be victorious. Yes, I believe that if I use my sanctified imagination, I can see God being the shepherd. I can see Jesus being the lamb. And if I can believe, I can see the staff that the shepherd used as a form of the Holy Spirit bringing us back into the fold. There's something about the staff. It has a hook on the end. Because sometimes we are so hard-headed, and there's nothing that others can't bring us back in. But what he'll do is, because he died, he'll take that staff, hook it around our neck, and bring us back unto the fold. I can see as the sheep that sometimes when we look back and we see the shepherd standing behind us, it's something on the inside of us that slows us down from destruction. Because that's the only person that could bring us back into the fold. Yeah, the sheep. We are the sheep. The Bible says that the sheep knows the shepherd's voice.
Yes, Lord.
He knows the shepherd's voice. So that's why when you go back into the parable, he says the shepherd, the good shepherd, grabs the one,
yes,
throws him over his shoulder. He throws him over his shoulder and he rejoices, because the shepherd knows that everything that was done on the cross was not done in vain. The sheep must understand that the shepherd is where their eyes have to stay upon. If you know anything about sheep, they wonder. And sometimes with a shepherd, when we look at Jesus, Jesus is our example of the earthly shepherd. Being a shepherd is not an easy task, because sometimes when the shepherd get one in, another one goes straight. Sometimes when he get that one back in, another one go astray. And sometimes when he get that one in, here go one that was close to Jesus and decided to turn his back. But as the leader, as the shepherd, and the example of Jesus, Jesus said that he'll never leave us nor forsake us.
Jesus.
And he'll leave the 99 to go get the one. And I don't know about you, I just don't believe that Jesus has the heart to leave any of us lost. But his desire is that he want all of us back into his fold.
Amen. Amen.
So on today I sit and I think about myself as the one. I don't know if you can reflect on any time. See, some of y'all have got to a point where it takes you to think about, you got to go way back to remember what the Lord has done. But as for me, I can think about Friday when I was rocking in my bed crying.
Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah.
Because I don't know how I'm here. But it's because Jesus decides every single time. See, what he does is he don't do it one time and then walk away. But he keep on pulling you back.
He keep
on pulling you back.
Yes, he
and he said, you seek him.
Yes,
you will find him if you seek him.
Yes,
so when he take that staff and he come around and he pull you by your neck and you look back at him like, what are you doing? That's him constantly. You hear his voice. The Bible says that his sheep knows his voice. And on today, if you don't know the sheep voice, I dare you to get to know it.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Because sometimes it's tough, and sometimes things might be up, and sometimes things might be down, but you can bet your last dollar,
yes,
that the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you.
Amen.
He done showed up every single time, even when you didn't realize that was him doing what he's doing. Sometimes we don't even have sense enough to know that it's the Lord that's keeping us. because he's a keeping God.
Yes, he
and he's
is.
A covenant keeping
yes,
God.
He
so he ain't going back on what it is that he said.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
So today.
Oh, Jesus.
On today.
Yes, Lord.
If you don't know him, the year that I have had.
Mm-hmm.
The year that I have had.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I dare you to get to know him. I dare you to get to know him. I dare you to get to know him for yourself. For yourself. Because none of these other people in this room, Jesus can save you. You got to have Jesus for yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He'll leave the 99. He'll leave the 99. He'll leave the 99. He'll leave the 99. When you at your